This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, 7:07, Monday, 1st of August. And of course, you're listening to The Morning Run together with Philip C and I'm Wong Shaoning. Now, in about 30 minutes, we'll be speaking to Dan Ives, Managing Director of Wedbush Securities, on the US tech sector. But let's recap how global markets closed on Friday.
They closed on a green note. The Dow was up 1%, S&P 500 up 1.4%, NASDAQ up 1.9%. Over in course in Asia, it was a mixed picture, mostly down, with the only exception being back home, FBM KLCA, which is up marginally 0.07%. The Nikkei was flat, Hang Seng down 2.3%, Shanghai Composite down 0.9%, and Singapore STI down 0.3%.
So, for a view on where international markets are heading this week, we have on the line with us Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer of Jevons Global. Good morning, Kingsley. As usual, always nice to speak to you. Now, US equity markets stage a bit of a rally, actually, for the whole month of July after the FOMC announcement, pushing the S&P 500 up nearly 4% over just 2 days. In fact, we look at it on a year-to-date performance, it's actually down only 13%. Do you think this rally has legs, or is it a dead cat bounce?
Well, it's a tough call right now. I think it's probably the pause that refreshes, since we haven't seen yet any clear leadership on what would be a new bull market. You know, investors, they're resorting to a couple of simple strategies. You know, buy the mega cap tech stocks. We've seen that. Also buy healthcare because it's defensive and margins are holding up, or really buy the stubborn causes of inflation like energy stocks, which are still looking actually pretty cheap right now in prospective earnings. So I think whilst we have this condition where inflation is still high, interest rates have risen, but the market started to toy with the idea that the interest rate rises from the Fed may soon be over, we're at a delicate position in this market where, you know, obviously if the inflation persists for some time, or the war in Ukraine were to worsen conditions in Europe, we could well see another leg down for this market. So we're a little bit cautious, but we're, I guess, encouraged by the idea that investors' sentiment is improving now. They are prepared to buy some of these stocks when they've been sold down. And as you mentioned, you know, the damage in terms of the indices doesn't look so bad now at 13% down for the year.
Interesting you say investor sentiment remains quite buoyant in view that we just saw a second consecutive quarter of negative GDP print in the United States. You know, do you think that sentiment can hold in the following weeks and months ahead?
Well, that'll be the really big question as to whether we see any rise in unemployment, particularly in the United States, where you saw those negative prints and therefore a technical recession in the US. So it really does come down to the consumer. Walmart, in their recent report, mentioned, well, actually, they haven't reported yet, but in their warning, as it were, pre-announcement, that, you know, conditions are still soft and they're needing to clear their inventory. You know, the Amazon result was a bit mixed. The market liked it, but not for the, you know, the result so much as the outlook. Amazon seemed to be guiding that they thought consumer spending would hold up. And obviously, their cloud business is doing well. So I think we have to wait and see what happens with Target and the other big box retailers that really were, if you will, the catalyst for that first down leg we saw earlier this year as to whether this market takes another turn down.
Kingsley, in this recent results season, we did see some notable American companies warning of the US dollar strength impacting their earnings. How much of a problem is this really going to be?
Well, that is a big problem, and it's also, I think, part of the reason why we're seeing central banks in other economies, you know, really having to scramble to follow the US on these rate rises because they don't want their currencies to weaken overly much and therefore have the opposite problem, which is imported inflation. So you're seeing those two sides of dollar strength right now, and if anything, it's this robust, rampaging US dollar that could pose the greatest risk in terms of fund flows and what that does to investor sentiment going into this third quarter when we need to see those results on employment.
And what does it mean for semicon names like Intel and Qualcomm?
Well, there's a possibility that we have already the early stages of an inventory build in semiconductors. I think it's really too early to make a strong call there. And therefore, this semiconductor reporting season is important. Obviously laptops and other items are down. Apple gave a bit of guidance there in terms of robust sales of iPhones, and they are obviously a very big semiconductor consumer. So I don't think that this is really a fire in the hold moment for semis, but we do need to watch out for what might happen in the coming reporting season for semis, which often report late like NVIDIA, as to how they're traveling individually.
Now, the other thing that I've noticed has come under pressure is commodity prices. So, for example, aluminium is down 11% on the year-to-date basis, silver is down 13%, copper is down 18%. So what does this then mean for mining companies like Anglo American?
Well, they're certainly struggling right now with depressed margins as they see the selling price of the commodities fall. Against a backdrop of rising costs for all kinds of consumables like explosives, also obviously diesel fuel is important in mining, and that's not to mention labor costs. It's a big factor. In fact, Rio in Australia, they announced a reduced dividend. Reduced, that is, off of a very strong dividend payment last year. So I think we'll probably see a bit of a soft patch for commodities in this coming half. But I think the underlying demand trends look robust in structurally favoured areas like the energy transition, which, as we know, is going to require a lot of these metals that are very important for manufacturing electric vehicles, also for electric motors and batteries. So, nickel, copper, cobalt, lithium, rare earths, and other items like that will probably come out of this soft period quite strong. The bulk commodities, I don't think they're going to collapse, but they probably won't see as robust growth going forward because, as we know, China is kind of going through a bit of a real estate slowdown at this time.
Well, a country where economic prosperity is very much linked to commodities is Australia. The RBA is going to be meeting tomorrow. What's your expectation in terms of monetary policy direction there?
It seems like a certainty to us the RBA will raise tomorrow, and we think most likely by 50 basis points. And that's simply down to the strong US dollar environment and the US Fed raising by 75 basis points last week. It would be dangerous for a central bank not to follow this, particularly with a high Australian inflation print domestically around 6%. So we think the RBA is going to, administer some tough love. We know the Australian housing market is weak, but they probably really have no choice at this stage but to raise rates. And until we see clear signs that the US Fed tightening cycle is drawing to an end.
So, Kingsley, what's your view then on the Australian market? Is it a buy? Is it a hold? Is it a sell then?
We think there are areas where it's clearly a buy. We're not as bearish as some on the Australian banks. We actually think that they'll probably weather this period quite well. And the main driver of that is that, as the banks themselves have indicated and the RBA has commented, notwithstanding falling housing prices, most Australians who have mortgages are well ahead on their program of repayments because they had the benefit of those lower interest rates where they really, saved and squirreled money away and tried to reduce their loans. And that's typical behaviour for Australian mortgagees. It's going to be tough love, though, because if you're a new buyer or a recent buyer, then certainly you're going to face that stress that goes with having, modest equity or very little equity in your home, facing rising interest repayments. So it'll be a politically sensitive issue, but we think the RBA will go ahead regardless and raise. And that means the banks, we think, actually probably in the next month or so, they're approaching a pretty good place for entry. And ditto with commodities. I think that probably the worst of this commodity sell-off will be over by September.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Kingsley Jones, Chief Investment Officer at Jevons Global, giving us his view on world markets and basically saying that Australia, you buy selectively. It's not like a complete just buy the entire market. He's a bit more bullish on banks than some of his peers.
And unfortunately, it's time for central banks to dispense with some tough love.
tough love is always good for you.
The love part is fine. The tough part is the difficult one, isn't it, Shawnee?
Well, something that's not so good is, of course, China's factory activity. It contracted in July after bouncing back from lockdowns the month before. No thanks to fresh virus flare-ups and a darkening global outlook that weighed on demand. So official Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, PMI, fell to 49% in July from 50.2%. And we know anything below the 50-point mark separates contraction from growth.
Well, we saw that flare-up of also COVID in Japan happening. And, you know, the big question mark is how is that 5.5% target going to realize? That's a big question mark. And as you said, right, this decline below the 50-point mark was mainly from continued contraction in the oil, coal and metal smelting industries, which reported lowest readings in 3 months as output, new orders and employment all contracted.
So what does this then mean for China's official GDP target of 5.5%?
Yeah.
Can it be achieved? Because so far what we do know, first half only grew 2.5%. So you do need, I mean, it's not as simple as that, but that means that over the next two quarters, we need to hit 3%. Is that achievable when the PMI numbers are soft? I think a lot of eyes will be watching that space. But up next, we'll be speaking to Dr. Oh Yee Sun on the status of the MOU. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.